This week ended with a bumper load of emotions. And this is what relationships are, Eri tells me. And I don't think she's wrong. On the podcast this week, another question from a listener. I close off again. But this time Eri's response showed that she can be strong and encouraged me that there is much hope for our future, in whatever structure that ends up being. It's my unconventional life. Continuing. I went to the woods because I wanted to live deliberately, to front only the essential facts of life, and see if I could not learn what it had to teach, and not when I came to die, discover that I had not lived. My name is Nigel McGuinness, and this is My Unconventional Life. It's a podcast, it's a journal, and in a way it is kind of a personal ad. But most of all, it's about navigating the treacherous waters of love, sex, and relationships in 2017. Sponsored by absolutely no one. Every week I detail my own journey and discuss my own untraditional views and aspirations in that world. Whatever the topic, whoever the guest, it all comes back to one question. How do we best find and express love in 2017? So I spent a lot of the week in the new normal, or in aviation terms, at cruising altitude. And to a certain extent, I know that I was closing off certain emotions and aware that I couldn't do that forever, but content to do it for now at least. And it occurred to me as I contemplated where I was at, especially after talking with the therapist last week, that maybe instead of saying I'd be monogamous on a snap judgment when Eri originally expressed a concern about it, maybe I should have said instead, let's just give it a week to see how we feel. Or maybe try to discuss our agreement to be totally open about seeing other people, that maybe then was time to say, okay, for now, let's just do a don't ask, don't tell situation. I'm not sure that would have worked either. But there's something to the idea of how quickly I gave up what I felt was a core part of who I am just to avoid upsetting someone. And it led to me feeling a lot of the same emotions that I had in past relationships too. And this was perhaps exacerbated when I saw other examples of failed relationships this week too. An old friend who I hadn't spoken to in a while who'd had a kid in a traditional relationship where they both felt very much in love forever after has now failed to the extent that it's becoming extremely difficult to co-parent their child, and it's causing a ton of stress and agony. And then the marriage of another couple of great friends has ended, largely because of a series of lack of communications and trying to open up their relationship without the guidance of someone qualified to advise them. So it's not just my relationship. It's not just my relationships in the past. It's the world and an honest look at it and the realities of being human. I became aware this week that I have to be careful that I don't keep too much inside and slip into a depression from knowing that I don't want to be in this style of relationship, but feeling that there's nothing I can do about it. The question I got this week about the podcast, thank you by the way, was from Mark from Essex, England. And he wrote, "Does Eri listen to your podcast? I'm interested to know because from what I'm getting, it's a massive sense of confliction in your mindset, and obviously she senses this too. Maybe by listening to this, it may help her understand where your mind is at if you can't put it into words to her in person." And I certainly think there's value to that notion. And I appreciate the suggestion. I'm not sure if she listens to the podcast. I guess not. And I know she's listened sometimes in the past, but I figured she'd stopped as, like most people, she got too busy. Or perhaps she just didn't want to hear it. Other people have asked me, listening to the openness I talk with on the podcast, the same question, thinking perhaps that she'd be upset. But I don't know. I want it to be something I could say to her. I don't want to say something on here that I wouldn't say to her face. I mean, that to a certain extent was what was having such a negative effect on my psyche. Having to lead almost a double life, like unable to talk openly to the person I should be most open with, the mother of my children. and yet unable to keep it to myself, to so many friends that I talked to in real life. And so I noticed myself, despite the email I'd sent her last week, closing off around her again towards the end of this week. It wasn't much until the end of the week, and was really instigated when I was talking with some of her friends at a party about our plan to have another kid pretty much right after this one, and how they were saying the hormonal, emotional instability could continue for most of that time, and that what was a momentary decision to avoid conflict in the short term could actually be something that I have to deal with for the next few years. And that perhaps there'd never come a time when she felt mentally stable enough to even discuss it. And I started to feel scared and angry that my feelings were irrelevant and that I'd just slip into a depression where I put on a fake facade of who I am until I eventually couldn't take it anymore and break down and then watch as our relationship went up in flames, destroying everything and hurting our kids dramatically in the process. And it got to me so much that I almost shut off completely to where I couldn't talk again. And so, of course, Eri noticed. And again, I didn't know how to avoid it or discuss it. I could hear her friend's voice in my head. "For the health of your family, I implore you, do not bring it up again." But somehow, this time, Eri didn't get terribly upset, crying and shaking like she had before. I mean, when I mentioned it was to do with what I'd written in the email, she remained calm. She seemed much more like her old self, the person who I'd got to know for 5 months and signed the contract with. Stable, rational. She said again that nothing had changed. There were no rules, and she'd never once asked me to be monogamous. That she was just feeling this way because she was pregnant, and that everyone she's talked to who's been pregnant says the same thing, that you feel unstably emotional, but after the kid's born and postpartum passes, you go back to being the person you were before. So try not to take everything too seriously. Try to be patient. She asked why this one thing was such a big deal to me. Why was it when there were so many other things in our relationship to talk about or be happy about, does that one thing overwhelm and cloud it all? Is it that I feel I'm missing out, or that I'm not being myself, being authentic? I tried to explain to her it was like being gay and feeling that you couldn't be gay anymore. And she told me again, that if I was truly unhappy, I should do what I want or need to be happy, and that her feelings were for her to deal with. Now, this isn't a free ticket for me to be non-monogamous again. I mean, in my friend's marriage that I mentioned before, it was a not dissimilar comment about doing what you need to that ultimately, when taken on its word, led to the demise of their relationship. As I've said before, if we're going to open up this relationship, it has to be with professional help so that we can have hard, honest, but safe communication. And as Eri explained to me, that's what forms that genuine love and trust between people, irrespective of if there's sex or romance involved. Eri then told me a story that she'd heard recently about a woman in France, I think, who in her late 40s fell in love with a younger man in his early 30s. He felt the same way, and they quickly could see themselves being together, as soulmates for the rest of their lives. And then one day, she saw him with a young kid, and saw the glow in his heart, and asked if he wanted to have kids one day. And he told her that he did. But being in her late 40s, and having had 2 kids already herself, and not wanting any more, she knew she couldn't give that to him. So, despite loving him dearly, she tried introducing him to some of her younger friends with the hope that he may hit it off with some of them. But he never did, and only wanted to be with her. And then one day, she saw this beautiful, young, red-headed woman on the street, and knew in an instant that she was the one. And so she started talking to her, and eventually invited her to dinner with her and her boyfriend, and after a short time at dinner, seeing that there was an attraction between the two of them, she left so that they could be together. And he called her afterwards, upset that she'd done that. But she explained that she wanted him to be happy and that she knew he wouldn't be happy if he wasn't a father. And as much as it perhaps pained her, she loved him so much that she wanted them to be together. But he wouldn't accept that. He told her he loved her and didn't want to be with anybody else. So, she cut off all ties to him. And the last time they met, she said, "I'll see you soon." But he knew it was just lip service. She changed her phone number and she moved away to where he couldn't contact her again. And then, a few years later, a beautiful little red-haired girl ran up to her on the street and smiled and said, "Are you a fairy?" And she smiled back at her and then looked up to see her old boyfriend and the woman she'd introduced to him hand in hand on the street, married and totally happy in love. And it was a very European avant-garde story, and of course I'm paraphrasing a story that she was paraphrasing to me at 2 o'clock in the morning. But as Ari told me this, her eyes welled up with tears, not of agony or heartache or anxiety, but of love. The truest sense of unconditional love, wanting someone to be happy despite the pain it may cause you in the moment, because seeing them happy ultimately makes you happy. Yes, there was a sense of pain in her, imagining me being non-monogamous, but also way more, I think, feeling that sense of true love. Again, she reiterated that if I have to be non-monogamous to be happy, I should do it. But it wasn't a shit test this time. It wasn't an angry, if you have to fuck someone, just do it type of thing. But at the same time, as I said before, it's not a free ticket to be non-monogamous, because of how I've seen that play out. And to that point, she said for the first time that she'd actually be willing to see the therapist if I really wanted her to. And truthfully, it just felt wonderful to be able to talk about it without her freaking out. And that felt like a huge weight had been taken off me, not feeling so anxious about her and her emotions. And she also went on to say that our romantic relationship was totally secondary to our parenting relationship. That ultimately, she just wants me to be a good dad to our children. And hearing that she wasn't so invested in our romantic relationship was a weight off too. And of course, made me feel much more comfortable being in it. It's funny, isn't it? How quickly things can change sometimes. And how sometimes one little thing can make you feel so completely different. I know I need to learn from this, to let things go, to not take them so seriously, to know they will pass, to accept that people will sometimes be upset at me, people who I love and have a lot invested in, but very few times it throws it all away. Our grip on our life is much stronger than we sometimes feel. For the first time in a long time, I feel my chest opening up. I feel easier to just breathe and exist and be myself. And that my life, after all, might just be the dream that I hoped. I'll see you next week. That's another week gone. What have I learned? And what peace have I found? Cheers for taking the time to listen to the podcast. Drop me a line at myunconventionallife2016@gmail.com if you have comments or questions. And if you like the show and know someone else who might get something out of it, tell a friend. I will be back next week with a week's worth of thoughts and emotions and hopefully some joy. But until then, wherever you are and whoever you're with, try to be kind. To others, but as much to yourself. We're all fighting our own battle. Lead with love.